do this preaching. I'm not real experienced at it, as you know. Luckily for you guys, PBI only taught us how to do 15-minute preaching, so you ought to be out of here real early tonight. So we don't. And it's just, I guess, coincidental, of course. The title of my sermon was Examine Yourself. The last words that Felipe said as he was at the pulpit here, he ended his message this morning with, "Let every man examine himself." So very coincidental that I actually had this ready before he did that preaching this morning. But I think it's good enough, and I think it's different enough where I can still preach it and you guys won't get all just repeat. So again, this my title is Examine Yourself. And, you know, there's different ways of examining yourself. There's the baseball player way, you know, how they're all, I can't even do everything that they do. They're examining themselves. Well, that's not the type of examining. You know, you have the physical exam that you need to have, but this is a spiritual exam. You need to have you need to examine your spiritual life. You need to examine what it is, your thoughts and your doings and everything that you do. So we're going to start out with 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Second Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." So it starts out, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. All right, so again, that's going to be my message. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, again, just for the opportunity to preach your word, just to read something out of your book, and it's a precious book. It's a precious book in the blood that saved us, Lord, and I thank you for that. And again, I just pray that you give Pastor Dave a good, safe journey and a good time out there in Pennsylvania, and Brother Felipe being able to take a couple of days off. Just thank you for it, Lord, and I thank you for those two men who are faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this examine yourself, you need to examine yourself daily. And, you know, my first point would be, where are you in the Lord? All right? How are you treating the Lord? You know, are you ignoring him? What are you doing? Do you say, the Lord, he's a good guy. Jesus is a good guy. I listen to him sometimes, but not always. You know, When I was a kid, my dad used to tell me, you know, well, if you come to me for advice and you don't follow my advice, I don't want to give you advice anymore. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, we so often we go to his book for advice, and yet we don't take his advice. We look at the passages, and then yet we don't follow it. So, you know, the first point is, where are you in the Lord? You need to examine yourself about where you are in the Lord. Man may be wrong. All right. Better yet, man will be wrong. The man is more often wrong than not. But if you're trying to follow a man, that man is going to be wrong. I've heard it preached from this pulpit and a couple others about don't follow the man. Dave Hoffman says quite often, don't believe him, believe the book. All right. That's a very good thing. Too many preachers nowadays, and again, I really appreciate Dave and Felipe, because they don't want you to just believe them. They want you to believe this book. So where are you in the Lord? The man will be wrong. You need to follow this book, all right? My next point would be, where are you going in your life in the sight of God? You know, we day to day, what's your plans? Where are you going? Is God looking down at you? A lot of this stuff is kind of similar to what Felipe was talking about this morning. It has several of points that cross over there. So where are you going in your life in the sight of God? When God looks at you, what does he say? Does he say, hey, this guy is going down the right road. This guy's doing what I want him to be doing. Or does he look and say, hey, wait a minute, where's Peterson going? What's he doing? Why is he doing that? We got to keep in mind, where are you going in your life in the sight of God? You need to examine yourself about that. Another point would be is, are you becoming complacent? All right? We so often get so complacent. We just, oh, well, that's the way things always have been. That's the way we always do things. Are you complacent in your church? Are you complacent in your life? Are you just, whatever happens, happens? Do you care about it? Are you becoming complacent? It's easy to let everybody else do everything. You can come to church and, well, you know, somebody else did that. Well, you know, somebody else did that. Well, you know, it's always easy to let the few people in a church tend to all the matters. You know what? We need to not be complacent. We need to get reading this book and studying it. And when something needs to be done at the church, we need to get busy and do it. All right? And, you know, we get complacent about all kinds of things. You know, even in all aspects of your life, you get complacent about the law. You know, some things ought to make you mad. Too often we just, well, oh, well, nothing I can do about it. And you get complacent. We ought to be, you know, some things ought to make your blood boil. I mean, it ought to just get you so angry that you want to do something about it. And yet you don't want to get so entangled in certain things that it takes you away from your Bible reading or other things. But you need to just not sit back and just be complacent. You need to get busy and do something. And the people, if they're not, or I suppose once they get complacent, they often go into the next step, and that's, are you backsliding? And you may say, oh, no, I'll never backslide. No, not me. You know, that's not something I would do. And yet, every time you read about Israel, how often did they start backsliding? You know, I reading my Bible, I would often say, well, how could they think that? How could they, you know, be doing all this wickedness right after God just showed them all these miracles? God shows them, you know, he gets them out of Egypt and lets them go through the Red Sea on dry ground and all this, and feeding them with the manna and all these other miracles. And within a short period of time, they're backslidden. They're partying. They're running around naked and music, bad music and everything else. So how does that happen? And I believe it happens by first becoming complacent, and then you just start to backslide. But that happens so quickly that, are you examining yourself? Is what you're doing complacency? Is what you're doing backsliding? So you got to really examine yourself in regards to the backsliding. And it can happen to you. You got to keep that in mind. You just got to remember every day. You know, just like you go in for a physical exam, you know, somebody hurt his hand today. He went in for a physical exam. You need to check that out. See, did it break it? Did it do something? We need to do the same thing about our spiritual life. How are you doing? We're reading your Bible. Are you doing the things that you should be? Okay. Let's see. Are you fulfilling goals for the Lord? All right, you know, I suppose I've often been accused of making so many goals and I don't reach it. I set lots of goals. I got, oh yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that, and I have goals that I've got in place that I want to do some of these things for the Lord, not just a personal thing. Too often, a goal becomes a personal thing. Oh, I want to do that so that I can get a new car, and I want to do that so I can buy this new house or this new boat, on and on. A lot of our goals are self-centered goals, but are you fulfilling goals for the Lord? Do you even have goals for the Lord? You know, how many have said, okay, I'm going to do this for the Lord? You know what? We don't do that often enough. We need to examine ourselves and decide what kind of goals do we want to accomplish for the Lord. And whether it's street preaching, or, you know, I'm going to read my Bible at least once a year through, I'm going to do this, you know, read it through 5 times a year. A guy down at PBI set that as one of his goals, that he would read through his Bible 5 times in a year. And he just set his mind to it, and he did it. And he did it publicly so that people could check him and you know, see what, check and ask him, how is he going with that? You know, you need to be accountable for your goals too sometimes. But too often we will set a goal and then we'll just never fulfill it. All right? I'm a bad one for that. I've got all kinds of goals and yet I don't fulfill them. And yet, so we need to check it out, examine yourself in regards to the goals that you have for the Lord. The next one would be Jeremiah 5:1. Are you seeking the truth? Jeremiah 5:1. Are you seeking the truth? All right, this is another thing that we need to examine ourselves. Are you really looking for the truth? I'm kind of fed up with a lot of people right now because they say, oh, we're for the truth. We're for the truth. And yet, they're not for the truth. You know? So Jeremiah 5:1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Here they're looking, God's looking for one man that is seeking the truth, that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth. All right, so he's looking for one man that executeth judgment and seeketh the truth, and he will pardon a whole city for it. Well, when I read that, I say, well, you know what? We ought to examine ourselves. And am I seeking the truth? When I'm reading my Bible, am I seeking the truth, or am I looking for a way out of something? You know, we need to seek the truth. And where's the truth? Where are you going to find the truth? You know, again, you're not going to hear it out of man's mouth. Too often, if they start talking, it's usually not a lie, but it's going to be a story. It's going to be fabricated. Too many times, words that come out of man's mouth are not right. You got to seek the truth in God's book. So are you seeking the truth? And then once we realize the truth, all right, it ought to make you turn 180 and head the other direction. All right, we're too often we're not seeking the truth, and when we finally hear the truth, you don't believe it. So we need to seek the truth. Do you have a vision for your walk with the Lord? All right, and Felipe covered this quite a bit too. Do you have a vision for your walk with the Lord? What is your routine? What do you do daily? You know, Felipe was talking about, you know, it could be a good routine. It might be a bad routine. All right. We started a routine at our home where we try to, first thing in the morning, read our Bible together as a family out loud at that. All right. I feel that reading it out loud will keep the devil away from you. He won't want to hear it. Some people may do it in the evening. But you make it a routine. You know what? It's now we got to do it. We feel like you can't go about your day without doing that routine. Well, that's a good routine. But you can also get into the routine of not reading your Bible. You can get into the routine of just wanting to do other things, not being at church, doing other things. So you know what? Your routines is a very important part about examining your life, all right? Examine yourself. What is your routine? It can be a bad routine. It can be a good routine. So you need to work on what your routine is. And do you have a vision for your walk with the Lord? My next point is, where are you going with the local church? All right? This is our local church. Where are you going with that? I don't have to come back here and preach. I didn't go down to PBI to be a preacher, really. I never intended that. But I wanted to learn the book. And I come back here and I just want to do something for the Lord. I want to do something for this church. I want to be able to, you know, again, this is the visions, back to the visions and the goals too, I guess. But, you know, there's things that can be done at this church, all right? You know, where are you going with the local church? You need to examine yourself. Are you hurting the church? You know, this is our local little family. I mean, this is a family of people here. And that's great. I love it. I love going into the gym there and seeing everybody playing volleyball and having a great time, except that I kind of hurt my back and I can't play with them right now. So yeah, we get cracked heads, bad backs, you know, a couple other reasons, I'm sure. But you know what? This is a family. And what are you doing for your local church? You know, everybody can do something. You know, I don't care how old you are, or how lame you are, or how many excuses you can put up. Everybody can do something for their local church. I know we're having a men's meeting maybe next week or something. And you know what? Every man ought to be there. When there's something needs to be done outside here, you know, everybody that can, and I know some people got to work and can't make that, but everybody that's available ought to be there. You know, where are you going with the local church? This is stuff Dave and Felipe probably wouldn't be preaching, so I'm gonna preach it. You know, and again, though, it's, you know, there's so many good things that we could do. I have visions, I have goals. I'm trying to determine where God wants me to go right now, and it's a tough decision. It's very difficult, and but yet I have goals that we could start things here. You know, I've got all kinds of them. You probably don't want to hear about them all. But there's numerous different things that I feel that each individual ought to come up with. And then not just come up with the idea and dump it off on Dave's lap, but run with it. Do something about it. You know, too often a pastor or a preacher gets a great idea from one of the congregation, and then nobody does anything about it. But, you know, if you have a great idea for a class, you know, I have a great idea for a class and you know, for raising kids God's way. Gary and Anne Marie Ezzo, it's a fantastic thing. We took that back before we even came to this church. I'm not sure if they're King James people, but they wrote that book. Mama, what is it? Baby Wise. They're the same people that wrote the book Baby Wise, and a lot of people have read that here. Well, they have a couple other programs. You know what? That's a great program. I want to, if I'm for sure sticking around here, I want to recommend that to Dave. But I don't want to just recommend it to Dave. I want to say, hey, Dave, but I'll also teach it or do it or, you know, go through it again. I've been through the class several times. But it's a good thing to take over and over. But you need to examine yourself and decide, what am I doing with the local church? What am I doing for the local church? Not just, hey, what can my local church do for me? The next point: where have you been with the Lord? All right. Have you had any battles? If you've had no battles, you probably won't have any victories. All right. When you go, you know, a group that goes out street preaching, I have not been to the Purdue one or PU one, but, you know, we've had some battles over here at this, the truck stop bookstore thing over there. You know, we've had some battles. We've had some battles with the police. We've had some battles with combative, whatever you call them, owners of the business, and, you know, people that just feel that we're doing wrong. But you know what? We've also had some victories because of that. Mike Bartleman was talking to a guy out there, and the man got saved that night out there. You know what? That's important stuff. You know, I mean, you may think, well, it's nothing. You know, it's boring. I get tired. I'm like, oh, man, do I want to go out there again? I've been gone all day. You know, it leaves me there till 10 o'clock at night. But that small battle does give you victory sometimes. And remember, every time the word of God goes out, it will not come back void. But are you, or where have you been with the Lord? Have you had any battles? You know, you need to say, I'm going to do something for the Lord today. And then go out and do it. Because too often we just say it and then we don't do anything about it. Are you willing to do something for the Lord? All right, same thing. My going down to PBI. You know, I got under conviction about going down there. I could have got every single thing that I learned down there from Dave Hoffman here, but it probably would have taken me 10 years. I learned things down there that I don't want to know about. Like every church has, all the problems. You know what? You can't get away from problems at churches. Churches have problems there. They have problems here. They have problems. Any church you go to, they're going to have problems. But are you willing to do something for the Lord here at the church? You know, you see something, some garbage on the floor, pick it up. Are you willing to do something? You know, it's for the Lord, all right? If the Lord were here, would you welcome him in? Do you welcome guests? Do you try to get people in with street preaching? That's coming up. I mean, you know, too often it's always the same people going out doing the same thing. You know, stuffing envelopes. We had a time when you could stuff envelopes and things, just put a track in there and mail it off. You know what? Every little bit helps. Every little bit is right when you're doing it for the Lord. So are you willing to do something for the Lord? You need to examine yourself about that. How is your love toward the Lord today? Matthew 22:37. You know, turn to Matthew 6:2 first. That was actually for the last one there. Matthew 6. about doing something for the Lord. Okay, about back to that. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Drop down to 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Man, if I had a whole big pocket full of pens and pencils here, I could show you what Felipe said this morning. All right? Those people have their reward. Their reward was given to them on earth. When you're trying to show off your what you're doing, all right, like Felipe was saying this morning, it will burn at the judgment seat of Christ. All right, so when you're doing something for the Lord, you're not looking for the praise of men. If the men praise you, that's a good chance that your reward will be taken away in heaven. So you ought to be trying to do these things on the shy without anybody seeing you doing it. And you ought to work towards that. Okay, now Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22, this is, how is your love toward the Lord today? Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. How is your love toward the Lord today? Do you love him that much? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know what? We don't love the Lord like we should every single day. Some days we probably don't even think about the Lord. You need to think about the Lord. You need to be concentrating about how is your love toward the Lord today, right now. All right? We too often just put him out of our mind. And that's one of the commandments that the Lord gave. But yet, we need to be thinking about it. This is also with all your heart, soul, and mind. You know, it's kind of like the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. I mean, not just a feeling, you know, oh yeah, I love the Lord, but it's, you know, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So it's a complete, you know, it sounds a little too New Agey, you know, the holistic healing, but with all your physical, mental, and spiritual being. You need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you feel that the Lord owes you something? Or do you owe him? 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Too many people start feeling like, well, you know, I've done so much for that church, or I've done so much for the Lord. He really, you know, he owes me something. He ought to give me something in return. Well, again, that kind of goes back with that rewards thing. You know, if you don't get the reward here, you ought to be happy that you'll be getting that reward in heaven. And now I lost it. 6:19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right? How can somebody that owns you, how could he owe you something? All right? The Lord doesn't owe you anything. Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11. Goes on, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So you were created for God's pleasure. The Lord doesn't owe you anything, all right? So, you know, I don't think many people here think that the Lord owes them anything, but there are people out there who think, well, the Lord owes me something. The Lord doesn't owe us anything. We owe him, okay? Colossians 1, 15 and 16. Colossians 1, 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Okay, there's several verses on that about how the Lord doesn't owe us anything. All right, the next point is, where are your heart's compassions focused on? Matthew 6:21. And Luke 12:34. Matthew 6:21. Actually, you only have to look up one because they're exactly the same. Matthew. If I could find one of them. All right. It's here somewhere. All right. I'm not finding my six. There. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Should have been one that I memorized. Probably did memorize it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where are your heart's compassions set on? You know what? Again, too many times things get set on the things of the world. Too many things get set on your heart. Oh, you know, oh, I love that car. I want that car so bad. And again, I hear my kids saying that, and I tell them, it's going to burn. It's going to burn. We heard that from Brother Donovan. It's all going to burn. Anything on this earth that you have your heart's compassion set on, it's going to burn. So why would you be setting your heart's compassion on something that's just going to burn? We need to have our heart's compassion set on the Lord Jesus Christ and this book, all right? This blessed book. This is where we should have all of our heart's compassion. And too often, again, we just don't do it. Again, the verse is the same in Luke 12:34 there. My next point is, are you praying for a good church service? Too often we come in and we expect a show or just, oh man, you know, well, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, did you pray for a good church service? Did you pray before you came in and say, you know, Lord, give Dave the words to say, give Felipe the words to say? We ought to be praying that. I know they pray it from up here, but we as a congregation ought to be praying that prayer. Give him the words that I need today. Give him the words that I need to hear. And are you praying that? If you're not praying it, you're not going to get it. So you need to be praying for a good church service. You need to actually, you know, and again, it goes back to all the complacent and the backsliding and the, are you filling your goals for the Lord? You know, you got to put all this into the package together, and are you praying for a good church service? And if not, you should be. You should be praying for your pastors and your whole church service. The next one is, do you love God's word? Proverbs 4:1. Proverbs 4:1, actually 1 through 4. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. We need to retain the words of God. And then Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right, you need to love God's word so much. Marty was the first one to teach me that one. Great peace have they which love thy law. And you know what? That's a great verse. That alone could solve most of the world's problems. Great peace have they which love thy law. Do you love God's word? Do you know what the Lord loves? Psalm 33:5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The Lord loves righteousness and judgment. But do you know what the Lord loves? If you don't know what he loves, how are you going to do it? All right? If you got to read this book to know what the Lord loves. Jeremiah 9:24. Jeremiah 9, 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Well, if the Lord delights in that kind of thing, you ought to be doing it. What does God delight in? He delights in this. You know, you want to please the Lord? Follow the verses, follow the recommendations, follow the advice given in the Bible. And conversely, do you know what he hates? In Isaiah 61:8, For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. The Lord hates robbery for burnt offering. Too often, I would even say if you're going to the job and working and you're making money on bets and, you know, doing something wrong, and you come in and put that money in the offering plate, that God hates that. And again, a lot of this is what Felipe was talking about this morning. You don't get any reward for doing something, even with the wrong attitude, just for giving with the wrong attitude. We ought to be giving with the right attitude and for just for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be giving your money and your time to this church and for the work that they do. Revelation 2:6. Revelation 2:6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, all right? And they keep saying, well, we're in that Nicolaitan age. Well, there's a bunch of deeds going on out there that God hates. And this is just a small sampling of the things that God hates. But you ought to know what he hates. You ought to know what God thinks is an abomination. And there's many of them. But you need to study your Bible, study it and learn it and understand it. And lastly here, Amos 5, 21 through 24. Amos 5, 21 through 24. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. That's, you know, again, I keep repeating this because it's what Felipe was talking about this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ hates it when you have bad music. And there's so many churches out there that have bad music. The Lord hates it when you dress improperly. The Lord hates it when your lifestyle isn't right. You know, people think, well, no, the Lord doesn't hate that. He doesn't hate it. He loves everybody. But you got to know in this book what the Lord hates. And there are things in here that he hates. So again, main point of it all is study your Bible, understand it, and try to examine yourself every day. Examine yourself. Know where you stand on all these things. It's not something that you just should look at lightly and say, everything's fine, you know. But examine yourself and know how you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, I'd like to sing one more song if we could. Heidi, page 381. have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Does your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest. You yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Your all on the altar of sacrifice laid, your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, again just for being able to hear from Your word, and we just pray, Lord, that You help us to examine ourselves. Help each and every one of us, Lord, to examine ourselves, and are we doing what You really want us to do? And help us to do it, Lord. Make the goals, have those visions, but Lord, help us to also carry them out and to just accomplish them, Lord. And again, we thank You for this church and for the building we have and for the luxuries we have at this place. And Lord, we just, again, thank You for the good preaching and from Dave and Felipe, and we just ask You, Lord, to bless them and help them to continue their work. In Jesus' name, amen.